Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello, the show. Welcome to a Tres Leches episode. Ooh. We haven't done this in a long time, Arika G.
I know. Ooh. People have been busy because, you know, they're going back to their lives. But we are so happy that we have a special guest today.
Yes. Oh my. So for those of you who are unfamiliar, Tres Leches is the Hala Hala Show's special mix where we interview the most awesome, handsome, interesting, smarter than us people. We always interview people who are smarter and more successful than us. And that's what we're doing today. Enrica G, who do we have on the show today?
All right, listen up, because I feel like this is going to be a really interesting conversation, because as a person living with, you know, my friend type 2 diabetes.
Oh, I love that. That's your best friend.
I know, my BFF, yeah, friend.
You're always together, you know?
She always reminds me that I can't eat cake, you know what I mean? But anyway, we have here an advocate of diabetes health and an endocrinologist, Dr. Eric Mendoza. Hello, Dr. Eric.
Hi, Rika and JC. Thank you for inviting me here on your show. So I'm excited to share things about diabetes with you and, of course, to your listeners.
All right. So, Dr. Eric, we are here. Well, first of all, we are here to discuss the advocacy campaign called Control, ano? Ikaw nga, Rika, ikaw nga. Kontrolado ko
diabetes ko. Yeah. Okay, so for me, that's a lie. Doc Eric, I have type 2 diabetes. Okay,
I didn't know that.
Oh, really? Well,
your fan, pero I didn't know that.
No, it's okay, because it's not really something that, you know, I kind of advertise. But you know what? It actually should be talked about, because I think a lot of people are, you know, parang living with diabetes. Maybe they just don't know. So can you like take us, kunwari, okay, so first things first, diba, we all know that there's type 1, type 2 diabetes. When people find out I have diabetes, tinatanong agad nila yun. But what really is the difference?
Okay, so type 1 diabetes, it's an autoimmune disorder. So ang nangyari dyan, nasira yung pancreas, the one that is producing insulin. So usually these patients will present early on, and they have absolute insulin deficiency. So it means they don't have insulin in their body, so they need to inject insulin. Mm-hmm. And for type 2 diabetes, the first problem is insulin resistance. And this is the one that is more common. 9 out of 10 patients with diabetes, usually they have type 2 diabetes. So they started mild, and then it will worsen later on. And this is the one that is affected by both genes and the environment or lifestyle. So yun yung tingin ko 2 points that we need to understand: the nature of the disease, and that one is more common than the other, which is type 2 diabetes.
Does it parang apply if, like, let's say, can you have type 1 diabetes pero medyo matanda ka na? Or does it have to be a kid to be diagnosed, or, like, you know, younger?
It can also apply that way, you know. May mga patients na nagpe-present with type 1 diabetes later on in life, you know. But these are more complex forms of diabetes. But that's a very good question, Rika, because I've been seeing type 2 diabetes in teenagers nowadays because of the lifestyle, diba? Masyadong sedentary. Totoo. And at the same time, hindi na masyadong madaming activities, no, for children. So I've been seeing patients who are in their younger years, specifically teenagers, which are type 2 diabetic patients, not type 1.
Mm. Grabe, I feel attacked.
Yeah. Doc Eric, question lang, Doc Eric. Is it inevitable that you will get it if you continue a certain lifestyle? Or, like you mentioned earlier, it has to do with genetics and it could be hereditary. In terms of people who get type 2 diabetes, is it more common for people who have it in their family, or just does it develop over time if you eat a lot of sugar? How do you kind of tell who is at higher risk for type 2 diabetes?
Okay, so genetic factor is one thing, but I always tell patients that it's the lifestyle that would be contributory for most of these patients, because your genes can predispose you. So it can start the onset of the diabetes, but the one that will make it worse will be the lifestyle, the choices in terms of diet and physical activity. So for the genes, we cannot do something about it. But for the environmental factor or the lifestyle, then this is something we need to intervene on earlier.
Right. Oh, so basically, anybody can get diabetes, kahit let's say wala sa family nyo. Am I correct?
That's correct. That's correct. Okay. And that's what I'm telling patients. Ano, parang the goal here is not to have diabetes, because each and everyone is at risk for developing it. And if you develop it, make sure that it's just a mild form wherein no complications will set on later on.
I see. Okay. One question I have, Doc Eric, is if you get diabetes, because I'm not really sure of the answer, is it curable or is it with you for life once you get it? Is there a cure?
That's also a good question, because recently we found out that there's such thing as diabetes remission. Kasi before, nasabi namin sa patients, or lifetime na yan, it will not be cured. But recently, we've defined this terminology, diabetes remission. So it means you can reverse your diabetes. But this is not applicable to everyone. This is applicable to young patients, patients who have mild forms of diabetes, and those that can be controlled properly with diet and exercise.
Alam mo, Doc, this is such a personal thing for me, because a lot of people recommend that I do this, I do that, like yung mga different diets, like keto or low carb. But how much do you recommend, you know, people living with diabetes to actually go through that?
Or is there a certain diet that really does work more effectively than the others?
Again, that's a good question. You know, any form of diet, as long as it will facilitate caloric restriction, meaning deficit, you know, it can improve diabetes, which means sugar control. It can also help the patients lose weight. And I'm reading this article earlier that caloric restriction can actually promote longevity, and it can give us a healthy aging process. Instead of just focusing its benefit on diabetes, I think everyone should be informed that that's the benefit of diet and caloric restriction. With regards to particular diet, I don't tell my patient that this diet is better than most and this one is for everyone. And not. We need to know our patient, know their lifestyle, know their schedule, for example. And number two is sustainability. We need to evaluate if the patient can sustain that form of diet, because if they will not be able to sustain that particular diet, magre-rebound lang yung obesity, and at the same time yung sugar control, ano, it will deteriorate again.
Oh no, you don't want to know about my diet.
My diet is the worst. Sabi mo sa kanya, JC. What you ate for breakfast the other day.
Doc Eric, ano, nasa US kasi ako eh ngayon. So, alam mo, may mga cookies lagi. There's always cookies here. So I had cookies for breakfast. Oh my goodness. And then, it's so crazy. But Doc Eric, you mentioned, just to clarify lang, you said as long as you're at that caloric deficit. But I've always heard, especially for people who maybe are looking into getting into a diet, there are there's a term that's thrown around, like empty calories. Are there some, like, for example, if you can be at a caloric deficit technically by just eating chocolate, but it's still possible to be at a caloric deficit, tama?
Yes.
So are there certain foods that are better than, I mean, in terms of using your calories well, or to make the most out of your calories, is there something that in terms of maybe studies or just in your opinion, because you mentioned you don't want to suggest a certain diet, but is there, I'm sure you can give us some insight into that.
Okay. So here's what we tell our patients. There are 5 major food groups, ano, instead of the usual 3, no, elementary tayo, go, grow, and glow lang. But this time, it's the grains. That's the first group. No, when it comes to grains, we want them to eat 50% of their grains na whole wheat. Okay, so yung mga whole wheat bread, and if they can do yung mga brown rice, no, or black rice, pwede rin. But I'm telling them, just 50%. You don't need to eat all the grains, that whole grains. Ano, medyo sad naman yun, di ba? It's kind of depressing. So minimum of 50%. If you can do better, then good. So the next group will be your proteins. So in terms of proteins, we tell them to eat more of fish, of eggs,
chicken,
less of the red meats,
pork and less red meats.
So we want that to be lessened.
Okay.
And then for the next group, you have your fruits and vegetables. Okay. Right. For the fruits and vegetables, no limit except for the starchy vegetables. Because there are 5 vegetable groups. Yung green leafy vegetables, yung red vegetables, orange vegetables, the starchy vegetables, ano, and the others. So others yung mga weird na vegetables.
I didn't know that. Alam mo ba yun, Rica? Did you know that there were 5?
Yeah.
You knew that?
I mean, I kind of had to kasi I had to control what I ate.
Right.
So, isa sa pinaka, I remember in the doctor's office 4 years ago, ang unang sa akin sinabi, bawal ka ng milk tea at bawal ka ng french fries. And I'm like, but those are like
so
the 2
advice.
Things you get when you go to a cinema, man. Parang, ano? What do you mean I'm gonna eat unsalted popcorn in the cinema? But, alam mo, Doc, as in like, at first kasi talaga, I really struggled with what I can eat. Kasi alam mo yung binigay sa akin yung listahan ng things I cannot eat.
Nakadepress.
Okay. Ito siya, as in, to be real, ano, sabihin ko lang. Pero I think I forgot all the things that I can eat. And then I quickly realized after, you know, like changing my lifestyle, kasi hindi na lang siya diet change eh. Like, lifestyle change na talaga siya eh. Na parang, kaya pwede pa din naman ako kumain like ng kahit ano, it's just that everything should be controlled. So do you have some thoughts about that? Na parang, like minsan, kunwari sa minsan, doctor ko, you know what, when you're at a party or a birthday party and then nakita ka ng cake, tas ayaw mo naman na parang i-deprive yung sarili mo. Kumuha ka ng maliit na piece, like isang subo, ganun.
That para sounds impossible. Mo.
I know.
Parang imposible yung one, but, ano, gano'ng kaliit yung slice na yun?
No, it's not even a slice. Alam mo yung parang papadikimin.
Isang ano? Isang kutsara na?
Yeah, dude. Doc, totoo yun. Like, I had to like control it in that sense. Kasi yung tipong ayoko naman na dinideprive ko yung sarili ko.
Does that I also tell them yung order ng pagkain, important din. Kasi kung sa umpisa pa lang yung magpapagutom ka na, so pag nandiyan na yung food, you'll take all the the most delicious, yung mga favorites mo. So I tell them to eat on time, and then if possible unahin yung mga healthier ones, so yung vegetables, fish, so that it will provide some form of satiety and fullness. So after that, they'll just only taste the ones that they like the most, yung sweets, kasi if you started with the sweets, it will be a cycle, parang you want more. And it's really addictive. So the order also matters. And I agree with you. No 3-in-1 coffee, no milk tea, and the other pastries, very, very small amount.
I think the only time I've drank soda in the past 4 years would be when I experience hypoglycemia. So speaking of...
What is hypoglycemia?
So can you explain, Doc Eric, what is hypoglycemia and hyperglycemia? Because sometimes I mention it in the podcast, and I don't think I've explained it fully. So can you take us through that?
Okay. So hyperglycemia is a high level of sugar brought about by the disease, which is diabetes. And hypoglycemia is a very low level of sugar. Usually, if you want to know a number, the 70 cutoff, 70 milligrams per deciliter, we use that as a cutoff to define hypoglycemia. And this is due to the medications not properly matched with the timing of a meal. So it's either we need to adjust the medication, bring it down, or we need to emphasize on the patient the importance of eating on time. So hyperglycemia, that's the effect of the diabetes. Hypoglycemia, the effect of medication and diet not jiving together.
Ay nako, Doc. I don't think like ako, I can fully explain what happens to my body when I experience hypoglycemia because it happens a lot.
Don't you get dizzy?
It's not just being dizzy, eh. Doc, Eric,
sweating,
can you like,
palpitations,
oh, can you like explain?
Okay.
Can you demonstrate?
Can you demonstrate? Wag naman.
No, no.
Okay. So what happens during hypoglycemia? I think kailangan ma-imagine nila, no? So when your sugar is low, your body is trying to counteract that low sugar. So it uses other means, no? Other hormones. So you have your stress hormones, no? At work, trying to at least improve the level of blood sugar. So you feel some forms of palpitation, sweating, tremors. So these are the effects of the stress hormones released by your body in response to hypoglycemia. And there's a desire to eat something that is sweet and not to relieve that symptom. Oh, yeah. And sometimes they describe it as impending doom. So yun yung talagang sobrang baba na ng sugar mo and you can
impending
put into
doom.
Your mouth anything.
Hindi siya na, you are not lying, Doc Eric. As in like, that is the best way to describe
impending it. Diabetes doom.
Hindi. Totoo talaga siya. Kasi parang you kind of don't know. You get confused a lot. I get confused a lot.
Right, right.
Yeah, like to be honest. Like I get confused when I experience hypoglycemia, yung minsan hindi ko na alam kung nasan ako, how I got here. And then, ang isa sa akin, niremind sa akin, is to not, hopefully, I don't experience that while I'm driving. Because I feel like that, yeah, that's really so, or when you're probably like, you know, doing something really important. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So,
well, yeah. Well, just to, I guess, to bring about the importance of the campaign that we're talking about, we've discussed what it is and the restrictions, but I think because a lot of people who are listening right now, Doc Eric, I'm sure they're like, oh, I don't have it yet. Or, but they might be thinking, oh, I'm like JC. I eat a lot of bad stuff. Maybe I'm at risk or maybe I should get checked. Because, for example, Rica, if you don't mind me sharing, when Rica, yeah. 4 years, kailan ba yun? When did you die?
4 years ago, Doc. I was living for me in my head. I was living a healthy lifestyle, but apparently not. So right. I did not realize that I was already experiencing all of these symptoms of diabetes. Like wala na ako sa pre-diabetic stage. As in, nandun na ako sa, you know, sa main stage, I guess.
Yeah, and you did not look well, right? And so my question is, Doc Eric, for people who are maybe at risk now because of the lifestyle that we mentioned already, what are the first steps in, what are the, I guess, the first signs to that are indicators that you might be at risk or you might already be in that pre-stage or you might already have it? And once you see those signs, whatever the signs that you're going to explain to us, how do we confirm that we do have it? How do we get it diagnosed?
Okay. Actually, since it's very common, JC, we recommend that all patients, when they reach 40 years old, kahit na walang risk factor, they should be tested. But if you have additional risk factors like family history or let's say overweight or being obese, plus, for example, PCOS, which is also common in women. What else? You have other risk factors such as gestational diabetes or being a diabetic during pregnancy. So you need to be tested earlier on. And if you still have these risk factors, if you cannot modify them, then annual testing, because diabetes can set in anytime. And sometimes magulat na lang kami, they presented a year ago with pre-diabetes. And then after a year, sobrang taas na, like 300 or 400 milligrams per deciliter yung blood sugar. So
actually, doctor, ako nag-start. Sa 400 plus ako.
Oh God.
So, starting strong. Ibig sabihin, starting strong.
Parang wag naman. Totoo yan. Ano, no. Like I said, I always like, because you know, it's something that I have to live with the rest of my life. So I kind of like have to be funny about it. Parang feeling ko competitive ako pagdating sa ganun.
Pero Doc Eric, as a cautionary tale, let's use Rica as a cautionary tale. Had she gotten tested earlier, could things have been different? I mean, I know you don't want to dwell on the past, but for example, if Rica got tested earlier, could she have avoided getting diabetes? I mean, in a way,
she got tested, right? You passed the stage of pre-diabetes, Rica. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so. Kasi parang I started losing weight. I started losing a lot of weight. I started getting super sleepy, like groggy all the time. So that happened for maybe a year. So hindi ko alam when it got,
The threshold already.
Oh, okay. Went past
the threshold. So Doc Eric, what would happen if she got it done earlier?
If earlier, then we can track its progress. I don't want to say deterioration, but the elevation of blood sugar could have been delayed at least or reversed it, right? So, because when you get a patient with a blood sugar of 400, usually there are some forms of dehydration most of the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
I remember
weight loss, right?
Yes, I remember I was so thirsty all the time, but I never reached for water. I always reached for sodas, juice. So parang medyo lumala pa. Mm-hmm. It didn't really contribute. Ang explanation sa akin dati lagi, Doc Eric, is like, sabi sa akin na isipin mo yung blood mo is so thick because it's like filled with sugar. Mm-hmm. So nahihirapan yung heart mo mag-pump ng blood to your brain, to your other organs. So parang diabetes affects all of your organs.
Right. Because it's in the blood.
Right?
So your organs are all affected. There are acute complications which you've experienced, but hopefully because you detected it, I hope earlier on, then we can prevent the long-term complications.
Doc, last few questions siguro about like living a lifestyle or your life with diabetes. Like, does exercise really help a lot? And would you recommend a type of exercise like cardio or strength? Ano ba?
Okay. It helps a lot in the sense that it can control your weight and it can also control your blood sugar level. And the recommendation is that you have a total of 150 minutes a week. So you can distribute that. No?
2.5 hours.
Oh, pwede,
pero hindi isang araw lang eh. So you have roughly 30 minutes times 5 days or 40 minutes times 4 days. Ano? Basta you have that minimum lang yon. You can exceed that. And it should be a moderate intensity. So you need to reach a certain heart rate and to call it moderate intensity. Our trainers are very good at that. But just to give an example, brisk walking is considered moderate intensity. And also some forms of weightlifting, for example, are development of muscle mass. Ano? So it's also important, but only about 20 to 30%. Still, the more important one is your aerobic or your cardiovascular training, which in the form of treadmill, swimming. Mm-hmm.
Favorite ni JC yan eh.
Yeah, no, running.
Running?
My favorite. Diba? Running away from exercise is my favorite. but on a serious level, I do try to take steps. But I think my biggest concern and my biggest problem talaga is the diet. And I think for a lot of Leche fans who listen to us, I want to use this use myself as a cautionary tale naman, is to get your really think about your diet, because it's really it is not easy to lose weight now that lampas na ako ng 30, Doc. Ang hirap. Bakit ganun? Your metabolism slows down. No, I it's like, oh man, it's so difficult to lose weight. And on top of that, and I have to be honest with on the podcast, because I think, Doc Eric, one of the things also that contributes or at least puts you at a higher risk of diabetes, correct me if I'm wrong, is smoking cigarettes. Is that true?
I think better stated is that smoking can aggravate the complications of
there
diabetes. Because it does not necessarily increase your blood sugar, but if you already have the complications, it will accelerate it further, such as atherosclerosis or deposition of plaques in your arteries, developing stroke, heart attack. So you're right, JC. Smoking kills, no, more than all the other risk factors combined.
Here's a controversial one, Doc. I don't know if there's enough research done, pero uso ngayon kasi yung ano, yung vaping. Is there any, have you read any recent studies regarding vaping and maybe accelerating the, yun nga, like you said, for smoking, it accelerates the symptoms or whatever of diabetes. Does vaping do that?
Well, for diabetes, you know, there is still no association with vaping. But I think I've talked with some of my friends who practice in the field of pulmonary medicine. Mm. And they say that vaping has its own bad effects on the lungs and also on the small vessels or arteries. So they still don't advocate that as a substitute for tobacco smoking.
Well, there we go.
Okay.
Well, there we go.
Officially.
Vape Nation.
Officially.
You heard it.
Makinig kayo, Vape Nation.
Makinig kayo. Uh-huh. Lalo na yung naka, ano, na, parang ano, parang quintas yung suot nila, yung vape.
Yeah, dude, that happens. Yeah. It's just in general, hopefully, if you can, right, manage that type of, you know, that side of your life. Because it doesn't really contribute to your health, really, in general, even if you don't have diabetes. Mm. So anyway, Doc, we do have the campaign called Controlado Ko, Diabetes Ko. So can you tell us about this campaign?
Okay. So that's a diabetes awareness campaign led by a healthcare company called MSD. So it's very nice, you know, because now they're recognizing that developing country like the Philippines, increasing prevalence of diabetes is also a problem. And later on, it will affect majority of individuals because we are projecting that in 2050, you know, there will be 100% perhaps increase in the prevalence of diabetes. Of course, it depends on how we curb or curtail bad habits when it comes to lifestyle and diet and physical activity. So this KKDK or Controlado Ko Diabetes Ko empowers individuals in their young age to recognize diabetes and its complications. Because for one, they will be the ones that will be affected later on. Yung mga listeners natin, mga young yan, ano, yung generation natin.
Yes, natin. Yes, natin. Yes, natin. Tayo, tayo, tayo. We.
So tayo yung at risk na magka-develop ng diabetes. And at the same time, tayo yung productive members of the society, di ba? So we're looking after the younger ones, mga children, and also the senior citizens, di ba? So paano kung tayo yung ma-affect nung sakit, di ba? So we want to make sure that the productive age of the society will be healthy and will be free from diabetes. And they will also be aware, you know, so they can take care of the older ones and at the same time empower the younger ones to establish a healthy lifestyle when it comes to diet and exercise. So sabi nga, it takes a village to manage diabetes. So we want to distribute the responsibility, not from healthcare workers alone, but also to the other health professionals and also to your through your platform, diba? This is a very powerful platform, we can educate more people and empower them. So, Controlado Ko Diabetes Ko, and we will all benefit from this.
Yeah, actually, you're right, Doc Eric, because we were formerly the number 5 news and politics podcast in the Philippines.
Oh yeah, that's true.
So you know we're spitting facts here. No, but just as a serious note here, this is something that we like to use the podcast as to speak about things that we really feel are important. We wouldn't have done this, diba, Riks, if we thought we were just gonna get, you know, if it was just to guest someone who, you know, to speak about something that we didn't really care about. This is something that I think is, because especially you, Rika G, I know I joke about it a lot, but I really do care about your diabetes.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, this is such a personal thing, like I said, for me. That's why I'm really happy that we got to discuss finally, the thing that I have. Because sometimes I really cannot express na how, you know, how important it is to control your diabetes or maybe check if you have, you know, because, you know, pag galing sa akin, baka, you know, people might not listen to me. Yeah. But, you know, we have here we have here a specialist already. Yeah. So siya na nagsabi. So doc, can I just ask if people just want to take the first step? Sabi natin wala silang diabetes, wala silang kakilalang may diabetes, but that's kind of impossible. Yeah. Ano yung first step that you recommend they take?
They take as a lab test, you mean?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
And where
of course,
to go?
It's still better if they are guided by their physicians because there are three different tests. All are blood tests naman for diabetes, but I think it will be more cost effective para hindi nila pagawa lahat . So they need to consult first, even not an endocrinologist like me. I think diabetes is a domain of general internists and allied specialists na din because this is very common. So they will be given a request, no, blood test for blood glucose, but there are some protocols, three different protocols. And then after that, they can have the result on the same day or the following day, and then it can be interpreted by the physician as well. Because diabetes as a diagnosis relies heavily on the laboratory testing. So it's not like ubosipon that you can check the, for example, the chest or the heart. No? So for diabetes, it relies heavily on laboratory testing. And sometimes they say there are borderline results. So kailangan sometimes it needs to be repeated to make sure that the patient has or kung wala siyang diabetes, hindi siya erroneously mabigyan ng maintenance. Mm. So that's the first step. And the next step is acceptance if ever it will turn out to be positive. Uh-huh. And the rest will be a long discussion with your physician.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Dr. Eric, just to kind of maybe to end on this note, when if the worst case scenario happens, in this case, it would be that they have type 2 diabetes, we've already discussed that it's possible to go into remission and it's possible to live a normal life. But can you reassure us? Maybe, I don't know if there's statistics or if you just a personal anecdote of maybe patients that you've worked with who are living happy, healthy, normal lives, even with type 2 diabetes. Can you tell our Leche fans that it's possible?
Well, usually it's a quality of life study, but based on studies that have been done before, the better quality of life is associated with, of course, support system from the family members and friends, diabetes support group, their physician, and allied healthcare professional. Of course, the control of their blood sugar, and at the same time, absence of complications. Because most patients with complications, depression will set in, especially if it's about kidney problems, especially patients on dialysis, loss of sight, loss of limb, for example. So these are greatly associated with mental health as well. But the ones that I've mentioned earlier, those are important pillars in the management of diabetes to assure healthy well-being of the individual.
Grabe, ayoko na umalis si Doc. Ang dami kong gustong tanungin. Hindi kasi, you know what? Sobrang totoo yun that you brought up the mental health issues that comes with it when you get diagnosed or like when you have complications. I never really thought that I would look at food as my enemy. Kasi as much as it is, it will sustain you, tumataas yung blood sugar mo pag kumain ka. So parang ako, sobrang frustrated ako noon, Doc. As in, I remember na parang, bakit parang kalaban ko yung pagkain? Ayoko na kumain. But at the same time, magugutom ako at one point. Diba? Mag-hypoglay ako at one point. So parang ako, ayoko na kumain. Pero it just really means that you really have to work with your doctor. Kasi my doctor, I have a Viber chat group with her. And then I take photos of all of my food. And then I send it to her. And then siya magsasabi if, o sige, ito yung blood sugar mo, taasan natin. So it really is, parang teamwork siya.
Yeah, as Dr. Eric said, especially with the KKDK campaign, yes, emphasize. Yes. It really does take a village, whether it be, it has to involve you, the patient, the doctors, other health professionals, and of course, your loved ones, your family. You have to inform your family. You have to educate your family, especially, yeah. Right, Doc Eric? It's a confusing disease if you're, at first, but over time, I'm sure that you can really spread awareness and knowledge. And that's what we hope that we accomplish here today on the podcast here on Tres Leches. And Doc Eric, before we let you go, of course, I'm sure a lot of our Leche fans are interested to see who you are, where they can maybe follow you online, or if they maybe they want to consult with you or reach out to you. Doc Eric, where can they find you on online or social media, or even just a hospital that they can reach out to?
Okay. So I practice in St. Luke's, Quezon City and UST Hospital, but I have a social media platform. One is Facebook, and just look for Dr. Eric Mendoza, endocrinology, diabetes, and thyroid diseases. Even if you are not my patient, I hope that you learn some things, because I usually post some infographics. And if I have time, I also create short videos about topics which I think are important for patients with diabetes and other hormonal disorders. So that's the goal of that page. And it's not just for online consultation, because I do consultation naman in the hospitals or in the clinics, and I prefer that. But of course, some patients, because of time constraint, and they prefer online, they also do with that particular platform. So yun lang. And thank you so much.
Thank you, Doc Eric. As thank a big you. Fan of infographics, thank you for your service. I love infographics. But Doc Eric, before we let you go, we normally do an extra song here. And we usually ask our guests to end with saying the words, "Halo Halo Show." After we do the extra song, do you mind saying "Halo Halo Show" at the end for us?
Okay, yun lang, halo halo show.
Yun lang, yes. you can sing it.
Very easy.
Anything that you want to say after, okay? Rika G, extra song. Doc Eric, take it away.
Halo halo show.
Hey.
Bye everyone.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.